Welcome to this reading of Chapter 7 of Financial Fitness Forever by Paul A. Merriman. This chapter is called, How Will You Protect Yourself from Yourself? With self-discipline, almost anything is possible. Theodore Roosevelt. Even if you have the best long-term plan in the world, coupled with the best investment strategy in the world, your plan and your strategy aren't worth much if they don't get executed, or if you let the financial news and your own emotions derail your plans. As we have seen, emotion-based decisions almost always hurt investors in the long run, even if they bring short-term comfort. Moving in and out of the market is a huge trap, sometimes encouraged by Wall Street, because trading is a huge source of revenue, and by Main Street, because your friend or neighbor might like to see you get excited or upset about something. You may know what you need to do, but if you wait until you feel like doing it, well, if you've ever tried to be serious about dieting or exercising, you know what's likely to happen. Fortunately, the solution is relatively simple, easy, and cheap, if not free. The answer is to set everything on automatic as much as possible. Savings, rebalancing, withdrawals, and more. If you have a job or collect Social Security or a pension, you probably already have income automatically deposited into your retirement savings or a bank account. If you have a mortgage, you very likely have signed up for automatic payments, an arrangement that ensures your payments are made right on time. The most basic task for any investor is saving money. Almost everyone you know would probably rather have you spend money than save money. Buy a shiny new boat and you'll suddenly have lots of new friends and admirers who would love to go for a ride. But how big a crowd do you think you'd attract if instead of buying a boat, you put $10,000 into your savings account? Almost every business would like you to spend money instead of save money. And many of those businesses will even loan you the money so you can spend it. In this day and age, saving money isn't necessarily easy. If you wait until you're sure you don't need that money for something else, then your savings will probably never happen. Fortunately, it's easy to overcome this and put your savings on autopilot. If you've got a 401k or similar retirement plan, that's a perfect example. A retirement plan makes your savings automatic, and you don't have to do a thing. Even better, it uses dollar-cost averaging, so you automatically buy more shares when prices are low and fewer shares when prices are high. Virtually every bank and credit union can arrange automatic transfers from checking to savings. If you own a mutual fund, you can probably set up an automatic investment plan. One thing I especially like about that is that you can profit from Wall Street's insatiable desire to manage more of your money. You should set up your automatic savings as early in life as you can, and I think 10% of your gross pay is a good target. If you're not doing this already, it's never too late to start. When you're regularly spending less than you take in other words, when you live below your means, you have formed a habit that will serve you well for the rest of your life. This is the best way I know to build cash reserves and a retirement portfolio. One thing I like about all this is that when you put your savings on automatic pilot, the easy way gives you better results than the hard way. Automatic stock selection. University Street recommends using index funds, and I wholeheartedly agree for a number of reasons. When you own an index fund, you automatically keep up to date with the individual stocks in an asset class, for example, the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. When some young, fast-growing company is becoming more and more important in its asset class, an index fund automatically makes sure that you own more of it. And when some company is gradually dying or even imploding, as Enron did a few years ago, an index fund automatically reduces your exposure to it. Automatic rebalancing. Rebalancing is the periodic chore that involves shifting your investments from one asset class to another so you keep your overall risk in line with your needs. It's a fundamental step in managing your portfolio. Here's a simple example of why it's necessary. Let's assume you want to keep 60% of your portfolio in stock funds and 40% in bond funds. You've determined that's the right mix of potential returns and potential risk for you. Then a big bull market comes along and your stock funds do really well. After a year or so, stock funds make up 75% of your portfolio instead of 60%. That's good, right? Well, yes and no. It certainly is good that you made that money, but now your portfolio has more exposure to risk than you determined is right for you. In order to bring that risk back in line with your targets, you need to sell some of the stock funds, take some profits, in other words, and use the proceeds to buy more of the lower risk bond funds. That is rebalancing. In order to do this right, you should evaluate every asset class in which you've invested, rebalancing large company stocks against small company stocks, U.S. stocks against international stocks, and value stocks against growth stocks, and so on. Doing this all by hand is something most people will never do. I think the best way to rebalance your investments automatically is to have your financial advisor look at your account once a year and make the necessary trades without intervention from you. A second way to rebalance your investments automatically is to invest in a mutual fund that does this for you. For example, the Vanguard Balanced Index Fund normally tries to keep around 60% of its portfolio in stocks and the rest in bonds and cash. This fund is constantly buying and selling securities as money comes in and goes out, and that makes it easy for the fund to maintain the proper balance. Third, if your funds are within a single family, such as Vanguard, you can call that company once a year and ask them to make the trades to bring you back into balance with your targets. If you are regularly adding money to your portfolio, you might be able to maintain the proper balance by directing your new investments into asset classes that are lower than their targets. That's a very good way to do it. However, this won't be very effective if your portfolio is a lot bigger than your contributions. Likewise, if you're regularly taking money out of your account, you can use these withdrawals to help keep things in balance. If none of these solutions works for you, I suggest you make rebalancing at least semi-automatic by scheduling yourself to do it once a year. If necessary, set aside a certain day or weekend every year to get it done, or make a date with a friend or perhaps your spouse to get it accomplished together. However you do it, be sure to rebalance your accounts. Automatic withdrawals from your portfolio. Eventually, we reach the point in our investing careers when it's time for our portfolios to pay us instead of the other way around. If you have to decide every month how much you're going to take out for living expenses, you'll waste a lot of time and energy. And you might end up having constant conversations with your spouse or partner, as one of you is likely to want to spend more and the other less. Those discussions may never go away completely, but you may be able to limit them to once a year. Every January, actually you can choose any month that you like, evaluate your needs for the coming 12 months. Then have the discussion and set up automatic monthly transfers into your checking account. Early in this chapter, I identified the problem as emotion-based decisions, and I said the answer is to set everything on automatic. Doing this is not mechanically hard. However, it may be emotionally hard because you're effectively relegating your feelings to the back seat. This is easy for some of us and pretty hard for others. That's just the way we're wired as human beings. However you do it, when you put your finances on automatic pilot, your decisions can become lasting policies instead of one-time turning points. My suggestions in this chapter should let you experience less anxiety and more peace of mind. I think that's a win-win financial prescription. This concludes the reading of Chapter 7 of Financial Fitness Forever by Paul A. Merriman, read by Richard Buck.